Indeed, the goodness of the Lord is seen in our lives every day. Amen. And definitely we can sing about His goodness. We can sing of His goodness. Exodus 34, verse 5 to 7 says, "The Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation." In case you're joining us for the first time, we're in the middle of a series titled, "Hello, My Name is God." What a wonderful series it's been, amen? And so today is part four of this series. And so I encourage you, in case you miss any of them, you can download on the website or you can simply go to the bookshop and purchase the CD. And I believe it will really, really bless your life. And so we see, when we look at the background of this story, is that God reveals himself to Moses. And this helps us understand and know the attributes of God and who God really is and what he wants us to know about him. And so, because we know this, we understand that the background of this story is that Moses asked God to say, "Show me your glory." And we see that in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 18, when Moses then said to God and said, "Now show me your glory." And many times, especially as believers, we think of God showing us the glory. We think of power, we think of fire, we think of probably a cloud moving in the service and say, the glory was there. And quite true, yes, sometimes we see a manifestation of God, and when the glory of God is evident, we'll be able to see signs and wonders and we'll be able to see the spectacular. But it's not only that. And if we only limit God just for the spectacular, we end up missing it. Because God showing himself in terms of his glory is also him revealing his attributes, his nature to us. And then we know the full package of God's glory. Amen. And so it's important for us to understand the attributes. And that is the only way we can be able to benefit from them. Pastors Walker and Pastor Benjamin, Pastor Sombo, all emphasize on one thing. And that we cannot pick and choose what attribute works for us. We cannot choose to say, "I love the God that is gracious," or "I love the compassionate God." No. But it comes as a full package. We need to accept every part of it. And that is how we will be helped. And so, because we cannot pick and choose, we have to get the full package or we have nothing at all. Pastor Walker introduced this series with a sermon titled, "The Name of the Lord." And he did a great job just giving an overview of this entire series. Pastor Benjamin shared on the compassionate God. And last week, Pastor Sombo talked about a gracious God. So today, we're going to look at slow to anger. A God that is slow to anger. The question I have for you this morning is, when was the last time you felt at the end of your tolerance level with people? When was the last time? Or maybe, when was the last time you had these thoughts? If he says that one more time, I'm going to scream. Or maybe you ask yourself, if she does that to me again, I'm going to walk right out of that door. Or maybe you've said this, if you kids don't keep quiet, by the time I count to three, you'll see what's going to happen in here. Or maybe you're probably in the office and you're trying to focus and concentrate, and probably the phone keeps ringing, and she says, if this phone rings one more time, I'm going to pull it out of the wall. We may not carry through with our threats or what we think at times, but the fact still remains is that our nerves are frazzled, our patience is exhausted, and we feel we're about to have a nervous breakdown. We get to that point at times in life. And you see, Our breaking point probably varies from day to day, depending on sometimes which day you work, which side you work on. And probably you wake up from the left side. I don't know if the left side is good or the bad. I don't know how it works for you. But our breaking point probably varies from day to day. And on a given day, everybody's breaking point is slightly different. Right? But there's one person whose endurance level is always supreme, higher than ours. It is a part of God's nature to be slow to anger. And some call it his long-suffering. So while we have days when we don't even want to greet our neighbors because we're upset or because we're moody that day, God is not like that, that he swings from one side and wakes up with a mood and saying, I think I'm not talking to you. No. He's not like that. And that's why we're talking about the attribute slow to anger. So as we look at this attribute, there are a few things that I want to share with you. The first thing I would like to share, three key things that we need to bear in mind as we begin this journey to look at God who is slow to anger. Number one, first of all, I would like to see it from Exodus chapter 32, verse 10. He says, now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation. This is God speaking to Moses. To say, leave me alone. Let me deal with them. We see there from the scripture that God is not to be seen just like a Mr. Nice Guy who never gets angry. And sometimes we may think, no, he won't get angry. He loves me and everything. But we see here, he says, leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and I will destroy them. God indeed gets angry. He does get angry. So number one thing I would like to share among us, the three key things I'm sharing to you today, is that the Bible reveals that God has a legitimate basis for anger. He has a legitimate basis for anger. So it's not like he chooses us today to say, I'll be angry tomorrow. Today it's not so sunny, that there's so much cloud. I prefer the sun. So I'm angry. No, he has a basis. The first thing we notice about that is that God is holy. He is holy. And so because he is holy, the sin and disobedience of his people dishonors and displeases him. And that causes him to be angry. So the reason why, or the basis of his anger, is usually disobedience and sin. So that will trigger him to be angry. In the King James version of the scripture we read in Exodus 32, he says, now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may be down, may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I'll make you a great nation. Talks about wrath there. The second point is this. God's anger, though fierce, is not sinful or evil. So God's anger, though fierce, is not sinful or evil. It is grounded on his holy character, which is offended by the sinful rebellion of his people. Are we seeing that? God's anger often comes out to bring about discipline and punishment for sin. And we can see that in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 7. We can see that in Jeremiah 44, verse 6. You also see that God even refused to walk among the children of Israel because of their sin. In Exodus 33, verse 5 to 10, for the Lord had said to Moses, say to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I could come up into your midst. I could come up into your midst in one moment and consume you. See that? Now therefore take off your ornaments that I may know what I will do to you. Very interesting there. So the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by Mount Horeb. Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle of meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle that all the people rose and each man stood in his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of the cloud descended and stood on the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of the cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshipped, each man in his tent door. The Lord even then decides, if I was to come and dwell among you, I will kill you because of your sin. Why? Because he's a holy God. He does not tolerate sin. He does not love sin. And so he chooses to live outside to say, if I live here, because he says earlier on, they say they are a stiff-necked people. People that find it hard to change. And God was right, because we see the background of what's been happening from the time they left Egypt. They have been rebelling, and it's like rebellion was part of their name. But God says, I will do this. But notice one interesting thing here, is that in verse 10, the Bible talks about how that they kept seeing Moses walk to the tabernacle of meeting until he entered. So I'm wondering, so they kept watching him until he's entering, wondering, why didn't they desire to be in the presence of God themselves and tabernacle with God? But they opted to stay out and watch Moses. And the Bible says, when the cloud came down, then they chose to worship at a distance. Are you one that does not want to involve yourself and be in the presence of God? All you say is amen from a distance. Think about it. God desires that we have fellowship with us. He desires we have fellowship. And so he kept having fellowship with Moses. But the children of Israel opted to stay away. Because I'm thinking, if they wanted that fellowship, they would have still told Moses, talk to God, can't we also come? I'm just saying, that's just my thought. But they chose to stay away. The third point I bring to you is that, yet while God may be rightfully angry over sin and disobedience, he is not quick to become angry. In short, God is slow to anger. He is slow to anger. The Hebrew expression arek, which talks about being slow to anger, as we see in the scripture, means to be patient. Slow to anger, that is, long-suffering before getting angry. It is used to refer to God's patience in dealing with those whose sin arouse his wrath. So much as God gets angry, he is slow to anger. Question again I have for you is, what comes to mind when we think about anger? Do we just think of tantrums? Because sometimes tantrums are the manifestation of the anger. But what comes to mind when we think of anger? Chuck Swindoll, in his book, Growing Strong, he cites the amazing fact about camels. He says this, camels may build up a pressure cooker of resentment toward human beings until the lid suddenly blows off and they go berserk. He says, in Asia, when a camel driver senses trouble, he gives his coat to the animal. Rather, like the Japanese workers reported to work off frustration by beating up models of their bosses. So probably they have models of their bosses. If they're frustrated with their bosses, just beat up the door or whatever they have or whatever model they have. So they do that. The camel gives the garment hell, jumping on it, biting it, tearing it to pieces. When the camel feels it has blown its top enough, man and animal can live together in harmony again. And sometimes, this is how we view God. But I remember in the first part of this series, Pastor Walker mentioned that we should not view God's attributes based on our character. And sometimes we think God behaves like this camel who is just upset and tries to blow up. And we need to do something to appease him to cool him down, then he will not be angry with us and we proceed. And we will see more about this. This is not the character of God. God shows us that he is slow to anger. He is slow to anger. The truth is this. Much as we've seen that God gets angry, we should also know that God is slow to anger. And God's being slow to anger means he takes long time before getting angry. It is as if he takes a long, deep breath before he gets angry or deals with us. But you see, such lenience would be contrary to sometimes our thought of thinking, but he's holy, he's supposed to deal with this. How does this work together? How do we work around this? Do we think he's quick to punish? No, he is slow to anger. Sometimes this is seen in the wrong sense, in the sense that we think God never actually gets angry because we're thinking, okay, he still loves me, he's patient, he's gracious, he's merciful, so probably God is not angry with me. It's not true. God does get angry. And we see that in Exodus 4, verse 14, in Numbers 11, 1. We can see that in Joshua 7 and 1. There are lots of scriptures that show us that. The other thought that people may have is that sometimes we think God is an angry judge of the Old Testament. Because as we read the Old Testament, we see lots of blood. It's like every scripture has got blood. They died, they were swallowed. We even see how Moses broke down the Ten Commandments, burns the calf, the golden calf, gives them to drink it. We're saying, oh, the Old Testament is kind of like, there's too much anger in there. And probably sometimes, some of us, we start running away from God the Father, and we're thinking, Jesus was nice, he was good, he was healing. And we opt to draw near to Jesus, thinking, no, he doesn't get angry. Or maybe we're thinking the Holy Spirit is our comforter, he leads us, he won't get angry with us. But the Father, you see from the Old Testament, he's really angry. But look at Matthew 21, verse 12. The Bible says that then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the temple, the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Take note of verse 14. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. After kicking them out, there was provision for the blind to come. So you see why he was angry, because the blind and the lame needed healing. But somebody was obstructing that. And so God, Jesus, was angry. And so we cannot think God the Father, yes, is angry. Jesus, not so. He is angry as well, if you sin. Are we seeing that? He's angry at the behavior of the people. And so, the other thing we notice there is that much as Jesus is angry, his actions are not sinful. What he does with the anger that he has there is that he drives them out so there can be provision space for others to come in and be helped. Ephesians 4, verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So at least we've seen the Father gets angry. The Son, Jesus, gets angry. It is possible to grieve the Holy Spirit and he be angry. Are we seeing that? It is possible because of our behavior. So you cannot think maybe the Father is angry, Jesus is probably not, the Holy Spirit is not. No, the Godhead does not tolerate sin. They are one. Are we seeing that? And so we cannot think and lean more to say, maybe I'll pray more to Jesus, not the Father. No. He does not tolerate sin. In Exodus 4, verse 14, it says, so the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And we see that, yes, he does get angry. He does get angry. But there's something about this anger and wrath that the Bible is talking about that happens. And the context of us today is that the wrath of God was satisfied on the cross of Calvary. Because yes, God was angry with the Old Testament people, the Israelites, as they were living in sin, he was angry and everything. And sometimes we perceive to think, God is still angry with me and us today. But we need to realize and begin to filter this as New Testament believers, is that the wrath of God was satisfied on the cross. And because God is holy, he must respond with wrath and judgment to sin. Because he is holy, he must respond with wrath and judgment on sin and disobedience. His righteousness demands that he does not leave wickedness unpunished. Let me say that again. His righteousness demands that he does not leave wickedness unpunished. So he definitely is angry and will punish. And probably we'll look at that more later on, even in the coming sermons on that. But Exodus 32 verse 10, I think we've read it earlier on, talks about how that he was angry and tells Moses, leave me alone. Let me consume them. Why? Because they were living in disobedience. And because God is holy, his righteousness demands that he deals with sin. The wrath of God descends on sin. Are you seeing that? In Romans chapter 6 and verse 20 to 23, it says, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. Meaning to say, your nature did not know what to do right. You lived just the way you were in sin. That is what you knew. So you were not under any obligation to live right. Because that was not in your nature. You were not yet a child of God. And there is, and what was the result? I love this question. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do. Are you seeing that? Things that end in eternal doom. So meaning the things you used to do before you came to Christ are not things that you even want to think about or do right now, because you are ashamed of them. They are not part of you. Verse 22. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. We deserved the wrath of God because of our sin. Are you seeing that? And the payment for our sin is death. That's the payment. And we've seen the wages of sin is death. So death is required for our sins to be atoned, for our sins to be washed away. Somebody needed to die. And in this case, before Christ, it was you and I that needed to die. Because we were guilty, yes. But he came in and took our place. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. I love this scripture. I read first from the New King James Version and says, but God demonstrates his love, his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Are you seeing that? Let's look at the Amplified of the Amplified version of the same verse. It says, but God clearly shows and proves his own love for us. He proves it, right? By the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Therefore, since we have now been justified, declared free of the guilt of sin, we are free by his blood. How much more certain is it that we will be saved from the wrath of God through him? So because of the blood of Jesus, we are saved from the wrath of God. Are you seeing that? So that The cross is the game changer here. We need to see that the cross is a big factor when it comes to the wrath of God. Yes, you were in sin. Yes, we lived in sin. But Jesus changed everything. When Jesus comes into the picture, the story changes. Because now the wrath that was supposed to come on us, he takes it up. Because of our sins that Jesus carried on the cross, we realize that he, for the first time, felt forsaken by the Father. Do you remember I talked about how that God decided to move out from the camp because of the sin that was amongst the children of Israel? And so Moses built a tent called the Tabernacle of Meeting. In this case, when Jesus was about to die, he then says, "Why have you forsaken me?" He's asking the Lord because he feels forsaken. How? Because God did not tolerate the sin there. And he carried our sins. Are you seeing that? Sin does separate us from God. And that's why we cannot continue to live with sin in our lives. We cannot continue to do that. Jesus paid it all. And that's why we are free today. Isaiah 53 says, "He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it is our weaknesses he carried." Are you seeing that? It is our weaknesses he carried. It is our sin he carried. Meaning to say, we were supposed to be on that cross. We were supposed to be receiving the wrath of God. We were the ones who were supposed to say, "Lord, you've forsaken me," because yes, he does not entertain sin. He would have looked away because we were living in sin. But Jesus chose to die for you and me that we may be at peace with God. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God. A punishment for his own sins. Verse 5 of Isaiah 53. "But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was like a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was laid away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream. He was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong. He had never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave, but it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all their sins." We are now counted righteous because he took our sins. Children of God, we should have been receiving that wrath. Yes, God does get angry. But right now, that wrath was satisfied on the cross. It was satisfied on the cross. It was satisfied on the cross. But look at this. This patience, this slow to anger attribute of God is only benefited if you are in Christ. If you have been washed by the blood. Because, yes, That's when you begin to receive. That's when you walk in the reality of that God is not angry with you. And that is why if you die, or if I die, immediately the provision of mercy and patience ends. If you've not accepted Christ, there's not going to be any more mercy anymore. Grace ceases the moment you are dead. It ceases there. And that is why the time to repent is now, not tomorrow. It is now. Because beyond in the grave, there's no repentance. The Bible says the dead cannot praise you, meaning they cannot even repent. If they can't praise God, can they repent? No. And that is why, when do we come to Christ? Now, when we are alive. And that's why he says, when you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Why is God slow to anger, you may think and ask? God's prolonged and patient dealing with the wicked should not be interpreted or to mean that sin is not serious or it doesn't matter. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. Rather, God's patience gives the wicked time and opportunity to repent. As Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, says, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No. He is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. Are we seeing that? So him being slow to anger is not a sign to say, maybe I can cheat, God has not seen. No, he's giving us opportunities so we can come to him. God is not in a hurry to judge sinners because he's giving us time. He's giving sinners time to be able to come to him. He's giving us opportunities to repent and come, that we may be saved. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, says, oh, do you have no regard for the wealth of his kindness and tolerance and patience in withholding his wrath? Romans 2 verse 4. Are you actually unaware or ignorant of the fact that God's kindness leads you to repentance? That this, to change your inner self, your old way of thinking, seek his purpose for your life. That's according to the Amplified. Are you unaware of the fact that God's kindness leads you to repentance? It is the goodness of the Lord that draws men to repentance. How do we see this goodness of the Lord? It's because he is gracious, he is merciful, he is compassionate, but also he is slow to anger. In the New Living Translation, Romans 2 verse 4 says, do you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from sin? Can't you see that? It's not a way of thinking, oh, I can cheat today, I can cheat tomorrow, God won't see, I won't be caught. No! God is giving us opportunities. And you will agree with me that in our lives, God has given us continually opportunities to repent. Even when you are going to sin, the Holy Spirit is still there telling you, don't do this. But you are going continually and he's still speaking to you, don't do this. He keeps bringing opportunities. Even when you are about to steal, I'll give you an example. Even when you have stolen, when you're trying to walk away, he's still telling you there's opportunity to take it back. The goodness of the Lord draws men to repentance. Why we're not experiencing the wrath of God is, yes, the wrath of God was satisfied on the cross, but also God is slow to anger because he wants men to come to him. He wants people to repent of their sin, to come to Jesus, because he is the giver of life. He's a giver of life. And that's why we cannot think and see God as an angry God who's angry with us every day. Because sometimes we are angry with people. Somebody upset us yesterday, the whole week we're not talking to them. If it's in the house, it's picture, no sound. You're seeing pictures, actions, no sound whatsoever. It seems the married people are laughing the most. I don't know. I'm just wondering why. But somebody's angry and not talking to the other. God is not like that. Are we seeing that? He's not like that. And sometimes because we have this conception and thought of thinking, God is angry with me, we think, maybe I should not talk to him. He's angry. No. He's calling out to you. Come. Come to me. God wants you to come to him. Are you seeing that? God wants you to come to him. I remember a time when, being a Christian and as somebody who at the time was somebody I looked up to. I don't right now. You understand why. And so because I don't know what I had done, but this person started telling me, no, God is angry with you. God is upset with you. And he started telling me how that God may not even use you effectively. And I can tell you the truth because I was looking up to this person and I thought, I think that's true. And I believed God was angry with me. That for many years when I served, even when I ministered, I was still thinking I was not good enough because God was angry with me. But I can tell you the truth, the moment I realized that he's not angry with me because his wrath was satisfied at the cross, I was set free. I can minister to you today because God has proved that he indeed is slow to anger. He is slow to anger. But also, his wrath was satisfied on the cross. Jesus paid it up. He paid it all for me. He paid it all. Don't condemn yourself. Don't look down on yourself. Don't run away from God thinking he cannot accept you. Run to God. Run to God and he will receive you. He says, while we were still yet sinners, he commanded, he demonstrated his love for us that Jesus Christ died for us. Oh, what love. Oh, what grace and mercy. Indeed, we serve a God who is slow to anger. We serve a God who is slow to anger. Yes, he is slow to anger, but he is calling us to come because one day the wicked will stand before God. They will stand before God and be judged. There is judgment for those that are outside Christ, those that are not in the kingdom. In 2 Peter 3, 8 to 10, it says, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That's what God wants. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. The earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. The reason God is slow to anger is not so we can continue to live in sin. No. It is so we can come to repentance of our sin and come to God. Even when we are in sin, he's still reaching out to us. He's still calling. He's still asking us to come because he is a compassionate God. Because he is a gracious God. Because he is slow to anger. Because he is abounding in love and faithfulness. Because he is forgiving. Because God loves us so much. He will welcome us like the Father in Luke 15:11, who welcomed the Father, the Son that had gone off and lived, even started eating pig food. He still welcomed him. It doesn't matter how messy you are. Come as you are. Don't run away. Try to think, maybe I need to fix myself. Then I will come. God is calling you just the way you are. With the muddy clothes, yes, come. However you think you're thinking or smelling, come, he says. It doesn't matter. In Ezekiel 33, verse 11, say to them, as I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, But that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways. For why should you die, O house of Israel? When I look at that scripture, I even wonder why people pray for witches to die. That's just an additional. Because he says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So I wonder who they prayed to kill the witch. I'm just saying. But he says, turn and come to me. Jesus paid the price. Jesus satisfied the wrath of God on the cross. Come to him today. What have I been saying to you this morning? Number one is that we need to know that yes, God gets angry. And there's a reason why he gets angry. God, secondly, has a legitimate basis for anger. And that is sin and disobedience. That is sin and disobedience. He does not tolerate that. Another thing, the third thing that I was sharing this morning is that though God is angry when you live in sin, his anger does not lead him to sin. His actions are not sinful or evil. And we've seen from different scriptures that even before we even called on him when we were still in sin, he showed us love by sending his son. He had every right to just say, you know what? Deal with them. We see that in the Old Testament. He tells Moses and says, leave me alone. Let me come down and consume them. But then the scripture that follows there, we see Moses reminding God that you are gracious. You are merciful. You are slow to anger. And we see God rescinded his decision and said, you're right. And he shows his mercy. Why? He gives an opportunity. Sometimes you keep wondering and thinking, okay, the children of Israel take 40 years in the wilderness. Why? He kept giving them opportunities to repent. All those years were simply opportunities on a journey which should have been a very short journey. He kept giving them opportunities to repent and turn away. And that's why in the end he said they are stiff-necked people because they never wanted to turn to God. The fourth thing that I mentioned is that God is slow to anger so we can repent. We can come to him. And the last thing I mentioned and conclude on is that the wrath of God was satisfied on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, it is finished. Indeed, it was finished. You no longer have to live thinking God is angry with you. He's a God who is slow to anger, and he extends his mercy, his grace, his love towards us. And we should look to him. In Psalm 103, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? So that your youth, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Will you bow your heads with me? Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you that indeed you are slow to anger. You commanded your love for us that whilst we were still yet sinners, Jesus died for us. We've talked about a number of things and realizing and seeing that the Lord indeed is slow to anger. I'd like to share with you to say, regardless of how you felt, if you've lived your life in fear, running away from God and thinking God is angry with you, He is not. He's showing you mercy. He's showing you love. And if you're a believer who has not been living right because you're thinking God is still angry with you and you've just given up, come back to the Lord. He wants to show you mercy. He loves you. He is slow to anger. As we've talked about the Lord being slow to anger, we mentioned that the patience, the grace of God that we are to receive, we can only receive now when we are alive. If we die, that opportunity ceases. And perhaps you're here, you've never given your life to Jesus. You've never decided to say, I will live for Jesus. You're not born again, and you're seated here. At the sound of my voice, we want to give you an opportunity to accept Jesus, that you become a child of God, and therefore you will benefit and receive this goodness of God, and you will benefit to the fact that God is slow to anger. You will benefit from the fact that Jesus satisfied the wrath of God on the cross for your sake. So if you're here, you're saying, I need Jesus. I want to accept Him as my Lord. I want to begin to live for Him starting today. Wherever you are, I kindly ask that you raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Just raise it up high, because He's calling out to you. He says, come. Come. Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? Thank you for that hand. Thank you so much. Anybody else? He's saying, come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Thank you so much for that hand. Thank you so much. Wherever you are, I kindly ask that you carry your Bible and come to the front, that we may pray together and allow God to minister in your life, but also that you may receive Him and make Him your Lord and Savior. And today your life will never be the same again. Church, I kindly ask that we just stand together and let's welcome them as they come. And this is an opportunity, a wonderful, wonderful thing. So if you're there, just come. Just come. God bless you. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. If you're still there, please come. Please come. If you're still yet to make a decision, please come. Please come. He's calling on you. Here, God. Thank you. God bless you. The Bible says this is the best decision you can ever make, because there's celebrations in heaven upon one soul, one person that comes to Jesus. Upon one that comes to Jesus. Is anybody else coming? Anybody else coming? I want to give you an opportunity. Come. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Come. Come. Thank you. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. The Bible says it's a free gift of salvation. And so, if we are to receive a gift, one would pass a gift to us, and you just open up and receive from God. So I'm going to pray with you, but I'd like you to repeat after me. From your heart, repeat the words that I will say, and then Jesus will be Lord of your life. Amen. Just raise one hand and check. Let's pray together. Say, Jesus, I come to you today. I thank you that you love me. And you died for me. Today, I ask that you forgive me of my sin. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. And I believe in my heart that He was raised from the dead. Thank you for setting me free. I am now your child. I am born again. In your name I pray.